Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, where we will continue our study on faith in action. After we got married, Nancy and I decided to move into a 4.5 apartment because we wanted to save some money. This was right before the boom in the housing sector. Bad choice. Although I was working full-time, my employment was conditional on me completing my graduate thesis, which was already a year behind schedule. One afternoon, while Nancy stepped out of the house to run some errands, things went from bad to worse with my thesis, which would actually have caused a delay in the completion even further. And in my hopelessness, I decided that a hot shower would temporarily make everything better. It did for the most part, until the doorbell rang. One of my pet peeves is when my beautiful wife comes home and rings the doorbell instead of using the key in her purse. Oh, some of you can relate. Regardless, there was nothing that was going to interrupt my hot shower, even if that doorbell rang over and over again. Until, a few minutes later, the water in my shower suddenly stopped. I assume Nancy was playing a practical joke by shutting off the water valve. So I responded like any other husband. I shut the lights and I hid in the bathtub with the shower curtain closed. It was cold. It was very cold. But this was war. Napoleon once said that in every battle there is a 10 or 15 minute period of time in which the battle is settled. To gain this is victory, to lose it is defeat. So I sat there silently for about 10 minutes in the frigid cold until the doorbell rang again. Confused, I got dressed, answered the door. And to my bewilderment, Nancy was walking up the stairs into our apartment with our landlord. Apparently, and Nancy observed this with her own eyes, water was continuously dripping out from our landlord's ceiling and had filled an entire bucket over those precious 15 minutes. Somehow, about 4 inches of water had mysteriously accumulated on our bathroom floor. I suggested to our landlord that the caulking around the bathtub was partly to blame, and the following week we had a brand new caulking. Life is a series of choices. We can make either good choices or we can make bad choices, like answering the doorbell or ignoring the water that's accumulating on the floor. But this morning I'd like us to examine how faith acts in terms of the choices we make. Reading from Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to continue our 8-week series on faith in action. And here we're going to read a condensed version of Moses' life. And we're going to look at some of the important characteristics of faith that are evident in his life. Hopefully we can apply some of them to our own life. By faith, so Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Although the author of Hebrews is unknown, we know that the book was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to a group of Jewish believers and to Jewish people associated with those Jewish believers. They were interested in the gospel, but they had not yet put their faith in Jesus Christ. Judaism was a system of works. It was about obeying the law and everything that was added in addition to the law. It was about observing ceremonies and rituals. To be accepted by God, one had to work hard enough, to be good enough, to be moral enough. The gospel contradicted or contradicts their understanding. The gospel says that salvation comes from grace and faith. And the author of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, in order to make this point, reminds the readers about how Abel lived by faith, Enoch walked by faith, Noah worked by faith, Abraham showed us the pattern of faith, Isaac and Jacob died in faith. But what about Moses? The Jews considered Moses the model of the law. Indeed, it was called the Mosaic Law. And so the author lays out his argument in these 9 verses to demonstrate how Moses lived by faith. Moses' life consisted of a series of choices. There were things that faith would accept, and there were things that faith would reject. Like coming to those crossroads, and you need to make a choice. Similarly, in our life, we have opportunities to make the right choice. And each time we make a choice, we have the ability to reject or to accept certain things for the glory of God. And so let's begin by considering those things that faith rejects. Reading from verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The first thing that faith rejects is prestige. If you're taking notes, I'd be writing prestige in the margin, but that's just me. Moses was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was the grandson of Pharaoh, the greatest ruler in all the world. He was the prince of Egypt. He was living in a sophisticated society with an advanced culture. Moses understood the status, the honor, the privileges of being a prince. He knew what it was like to be surrounded by servants. He knew what it was like to possess fame and fortune and power, but he had to make a choice. He had to make a choice to hold on to the world's prestige or to listen to the call of God. In Acts chapter 7, we read this morning, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian. So he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon 2 Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" This is the turning point in the story when Moses rejects prestige associated with being the prince of Egypt. The fame, the fortune, the power, rejected in exchange for a greater kingdom, in exchange for a higher calling. Many people in their futility spend their entire lives trying to attain what Moses already had. I've met people whose greatest ambition is to put their names on sports arenas, on university endowment funds. You have 1,000 people gathering and they're at the center of the table and it's $100 a plate. And you know what? Moses had everything that these people are trying to attain, and yet Moses was willing to give it all up in order to answer the call of God. It begs the question, what is holding me back from a greater kingdom and a higher calling? What is preventing me from forsaking everything to follow Christ? Second, faith rejects pleasure. We read in verse 25, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Sin is pleasurable. It's enjoyable. This verse tells us that it is. We can assume that there was plenty of it in Egypt, in the Egyptian culture. No lust, no passion, no temptation out of reach for Moses, the prince of Egypt, with all his fame and fortune and power. Remember, life is a series of choices that we can make. And this verse tells us that Moses chose. I bolded that. He chose to make the right choice. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. As much as sin is pleasurable, it's brief, it's transitory, it's short-lived, it's got dire consequences. Paul this morning reminded us, you know, the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. Hence, it's always a bad choice. Moses rejected the pleasures of sin and instead chose to be mistreated along with the people of God. Are we willing to turn? Am I willing to turn from the pleasures of sin? Am I willing to be mistreated at work or perhaps at school for having made the right choice? Make the right choice. The next time the pleasure of sin presents itself, remember what John wrote in 1 John 2:7. He says, "The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." Thirdly, faith rejects the world's plenty. Verse 26, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Or as it is written in the New Living Translation, he thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ, rather to own the treasures of Egypt, for we he was looking ahead to his great reward. Although Moses did not know about Christ, the thought here is that Moses was willing to go from being honored to being scorned, to living in a palace to living in a desert, from being a prince to being a shepherd, from having everything to having nothing. This reproach is very similar to what the Lord Jesus Christ endured. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor, for your sakes, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Or as Isaiah prophesied, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Christ, infinitely rich and privileged, obeyed his Father and left the comforts of heaven to suffer ill treatment by the human race. In that sense, Moses is a type of Christ. And Moses was able to regard the disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his great reward. Am I willing to regard the disgrace for Christ as of greater value than the treasures of this world? I find that's an easier question for me to shake my head and to answer yes than to sometimes live out. Reading from verse 27. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered, because he saw him who is invisible. According to some commentators, Moses did not just physically leave Egypt, but he rejected Egypt. And he not only rejected Egypt, but he rejected Egypt and Pharaoh and any power that they had over his life. It was a renunciation of the heart. Moses, by faith, rejected the prestige, the pleasures, and the plenty of the world, and persevered. Right, Irby? He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. In my opinion, perseverance was no easy task for Moses. He had to return to Egypt with the task of setting God's people free and leading them out of Egypt into the promised land. Egypt was a country that Moses had fled for the safety of his life. Pharaoh had wanted to kill him. And now he'd have to stand before him, and Pharaoh, a man with a hardened heart, and he'd have to announce plague after plague. One may recall Pharaoh's response when Moses announced the plague of darkness. "Get out of my sight. Make sure you do not appear before me again. The day you see my face, you will die."
Please note the irony in the statement. Pharaoh says to Moses, "The day you see my face, you will die." And this is during a period of total darkness, which covered all of Egypt for 3 days. No one can see each other. But Moses persevered. And then he announces the 10th plague, the death of every firstborn in the land of Egypt. From the firstborn who sits on the throne of Pharaoh. And Moses leaves Pharaoh's presence, and we read here that he is hot with anger. Why is he hot with anger? Because nobody enjoys being mistreated. No one enjoys prolonged periods of confrontation. No one likes to be the bearer of bad news. Moses persevered because he saw him who is invisible, not with physical eyes, but with spiritual eyes. And it's encouraging to know that we too, that we can persevere, that we can overcome opposition, and that we can persevere in our own life, and in our homes, and in our marriage, and in our family, and in our workplace, and in our school, and in our church, if, by faith, we have our eyes fixed on the one who is invisible. Next, I'd like us to consider those things that faith accepts. So we're moving from the things that faith rejects to the things that faith accepts. And we're going to go back to verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Why did Moses' parents hide him for 3 months after he was born? Because Pharaoh ordered every Hebrew baby to be born, that was born, to be thrown into the Nile. And Moses' parents feared God more than they feared Pharaoh. They chose life over death. Had they been caught, they likely would have been killed also for their disobedience. Moses was a great man of faith. And he saw, and he was able to learn from his parents, who were people of faith. Some years ago, Focus on the Family hosted a parenting conference. It was live via teleconference here at RBC. And I remember one father in particular speaking about the importance of praying with his children every night before he went to bed. And he'd offer them a special blessing. He'd say, "May God bless you and keep you and shine his face upon you." And throughout their childhood and teenage years, every night before they went to bed, Dad would pray with them and offer them that special blessing. "May God bless you and keep you and shine his face upon you." Some years later, he's standing in the room of his daughter's dormitory. She's about to start college. It's the first time she would not be returning home with mom and dad. And the father, emotional and holding back tears, hugs her, says goodbye, and straight beeline to the car because he knows he's going to break down. And he's not turning back. And he gets to the parking lot. And as he gets close to his car, he hears his daughter calling out his name. "Daddy! Daddy!" And he turns around, and she comes running, and she jumps in his arms, and she gives him a big hug, and she says, "May God bless you and keep you and shine his face upon you." Well, it was then that I decided that I would pray with each of my children before they go to bed, and that I would offer them that very special blessing. A few weeks ago, it was early morning, and I was leaving for Edmonton, a few days of business. And leaving the families is never easy, especially for Nancy. And saying goodbye is always difficult. And that morning, as I was about to leave, Nancy, early morning, 6:30 maybe, Nancy came to say goodbye. And she said, "God bless you." And unprovoked, my daughter Megan, who was standing next to her, said, "And keep you and shine his face upon you." Moses was a great man of faith. And he was able to learn from his parents, who were people of faith. Speaking with Nick earlier this morning as well, I can't think of a greater ministry than my wife and kids at home. Something that took me some time to figure out. Nancy had it knew it a lot sooner than I did. But faith accepts God's plan, and that goes for both parents and their children. And God had a plan. And by faith, Moses accepted God's plan. In Exodus chapter 5, after spending 40 years in Midian, Moses returns to Egypt, walks up to Pharaoh and says, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, let my people go. He didn't fear Pharaoh. He trusted in God. Pharaoh's response, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. I will not let Israel go. And then he dismissed Moses and ordered the work of the Israelites be made harder. Moses returns to the Lord and says, why, Lord, have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. It is at that point that God, in Exodus chapter 6, reaffirms Moses of who he is. And this just jumped out at me. On 5 different occasions in Exodus chapter 6, he says, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. 3 chapters earlier at the burning bush, when God commissioned Moses, how did he identify himself? Yahweh, or I am who I am. And here again in chapter 6, God is reaffirming to Moses who he is. I am the Lord. And as if that's not enough, God tells him what he's about to do. See what I will do. I will bring. I will deliver. I will redeem. I will take. I will be. I will bring. I will give. Because God is who he is, he knows what is best for us. And by faith, we can accept his plan. When walls are closing in, when dreams are fading, when hopes are fleeting, when life is fading, when health is deteriorating, when deadlines are looming, when children are screaming, right? Parents are calling, when the heart's aching, look to the Lord. Look to the Lord and keep on looking. Look on looking to the one who's invisible. When things are going from bad to worse, when the school thesis of life is going to be delayed and water is accumulating on that bathroom floor, trust him. Have confidence in him. Believe in him. Have faith, because God is who he is, and he will do what is best for us, even when we don't understand. Second, faith accepts God's provision. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. In Exodus chapter 12, we read about how a 1-year-old male lamb without defect is slaughtered at twilight, and the blood is placed on the sides and the top of the door frames of the house where they ate the lamb. And Exodus chapter 12 explains why this was done. And we need to remember that this is with reference to the last plague that Moses spoke to Pharaoh. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. By faith, Moses accepted God's provision for their deliverance, and this memorial feast was commemorated to remember their deliverance. Moses did not try to succeed on his own. He did not try to draw up some alternative plan or solution and let's call a meeting on our deliverance. Instead, by faith, he relied on God, trusted his word, and accepted his provision for deliverance. Similarly, God has provided each and every one of us deliverance from the wages of sin. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Faith accepts God's provision, and hopefully everyone has accepted and trusted by faith, his provision, Jesus Christ, for eternal life. Third, faith accepts God's promise. Reading from verse 29, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. In this account, first recorded in Exodus chapter 14, Pharaoh had his chariot made ready, and he took his army with him, 600 of the best chariots, along with horses and horsemen and troops, and they were in hot pursuit of the Israelites after he had let them go. The Israelites are encamped by the sea, and when they turn around, they see the Egyptians fast approaching, and they're terrified. Moses' response, "Do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." Do not be afraid. Stand still. See the deliverance of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. My response, had I been an Israelite at that time, with an army behind me and a sea in front of me, would have been, hit the panic button, find me a life jacket, man the rowboats, out of here. Actually, there have been times in my life when my response was similar to the Israelites. I panicked when I should not have been terrified. I ran when I should have stayed still. I fought when I should have let God do the fighting. But Moses is a man of faith. He believed in God's deliverance, and he was waiting for a big miracle. The Lord tells Moses, "Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the waters so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." Mission accomplished. Pharaoh and his entire army washed away. And the Israelites see the mighty hand of the Lord. They fear the Lord, and they put their trust in him. How will I respond to the pharaohs of this world? When the armies of life are chasing behind me with their swords drawn and engaged, am I willing to put my faith, am I willing to put my trust in God? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. From Egypt to Angola to Montreal, am I willing to believe in God? Is it the words that we want written on our epitaph? I believed in God. A brother last night was encouraging me to read a lot more. And couldn't sleep last night, so I took his advice. And I went and I found a book. This was not the book I was looking for, but it's the one that God put before me. It's The Red Sea Rules by Robert Morgan. And he tells the story of a South African pastor, Andrew Murray, who was going through a real difficult time in his life. And this is what he wrote. "First, he brought me here," referring to God. "It is by his will that I am in this strait," S-T-R-A-I-T, "in this strait place. In that fact, I will rest. Next, he will keep me in here in his love and give me grace to behave as his child. Then he will make the trial a blessing, teaching me the lessons he intends me to learn and working in me the grace he means to bestow. Later, in his good time, he can bring me out again. How and when, he knows." regardless of our circumstances, regardless of the pharaohs in our life, regardless of the armies chasing behind me, I can stand here and I can say to you, I am here at God's appointment, in His keeping, under His training, and for His time. Let us all be encouraged as we stand on the promises of God. In summary, faith rejects prestige, pleasures, and the plenty of the world. It accepts God's plan, provision, and promise. In ancient times, a victor at the Olympic Games once said, "Spartan, what will you gain by this victory?" He replied, "I, sir, will have the honor to fight on the front line for my king." May that be our response as we live by faith and persevere. Persevere for our king. May God bless you and keep you and shine His face upon you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for those salient characteristics in the life of Moses. We thank You for those things that faith accept and reject. And as we leave here this morning, Lord, as we leave here into the world, help us to love those things that You love and to hate those things that You hate. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Help us to make the right choices. And in the end, for others and even ourselves to be able to say, I believed in God. In Your name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.